called me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him, for generations to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seeds forever.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you all. It was wonderful to have a little extra time to visit, and we'll have some more time here shortly. Hope you can stick around. Do you want to recall, we're still fairly well at the beginning of the month. Grab a name out of the prayer box and continue to join us in praying for each other. The Drug Court Christmas party is coming up next Saturday. We don't talk about it a lot. There's two reasons for that. One, that's not everybody's cup of tea, and we don't want to make anybody feel like they have to participate in that coming or going. But more importantly is we need a smaller group of really dedicated people who want to help out with that. So if you want to help, I don't care what your situation or your age or whatever it is, we have something you can do, but don't talk to me. I'm just the figurehead. I show up, I MC, that's about it. All right? Tammy's the one that does the lion's share of getting every T crossed and every I dotted. And so we have made some announcements clear, like we're getting together to decorate today, this afternoon. If you want to help with that, show up at 3 o'clock. We also have, probably need some cookies, right? How many dozen total? I don't know. 472 dozen cookies. Now, we would prefer those to be homemade. So if you want to make just a dozen or two chocolate chip cookies or Christmas cookies or something special, it doesn't matter. We're not looking for any particular type. If you just want to buy a few cookies, of course, those are yummy too, but don't buy the Walmart knockoff ones because I'm not going to set those out. This is a nice party for people who really need something nice to be done for them, okay? There's lots to do, and we are a little shorthanded this year because some of the people who normally help are no longer available to us for one reason or another. For instance, Sherman always made the macaroni and cheese. I don't think he's going to come back and do that for me, even though I've asked. So we will need some gaps covered. Talk to Tammy if you are of a mind to help with that. But we're not there to eat the meal, although we do get to eat. We're not there to visit with one another. We're there to do everything we can to give these families a night that they will remember and to do that in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you're wanting to participate in that, talk to Tammy. We'll get you something to do. All right. I don't generally do a lot of announcements. I appreciate you suffering me that opportunity. So we're going to take a look at Mary's words of trust that were read for us this morning in Luke chapter 1. I think most people, if you were to ask just the general person, they think she sings that song after Jesus is born. Now, I'm sure most of you realize that's not the case. This song is sung long before Jesus is born. So it's not this moment at which she sings the song, and I want to notice a few things about that today. I want to take a look at her words of praise and notice some things about not just their context, but about what that could imply for us and what it means for us. So I want to go back and see a few details that were prior to our scripture reading. Jump back up to Luke chapter 1 and look at verses 26 through 29 with me. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. He was a descendant of David. Now, she is too, by the way. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah were chosen to give birth to John the Baptist. She's already 6 months pregnant, and in her sixth month, Gabriel comes to Mary, and this is what happens. Now, this virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Verse 29, but Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She was alarmed. She was going through something that was clearly unexpected. You're unexpected to be expecting at this point because you're just betrothed. You're engaged. But you're not married. And this angel shows up. I get the feeling that Mary's never seen one of these before. She's not rattled, but she's not really sure what's going on either. She has plans, she has dreams, and usually when an angel shows up, you're going to lose some of that. Because you're going to be asked to do something that wasn't already in your plans. Now, on some level, every young woman had hoped to give birth to the Messiah. This was a long-standing, proud tradition among Jews that each woman thought maybe the Messiah would come through me. But I don't think she expected it to be like this. At any rate, all she knows at this point is just that the angel is greeting her, and she's like, that's different. And it's troubling to her. Let's pick it up again in verse 30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And so Mary says, how is this possible? I am a virgin. She thought it might be possible once she was married to Joseph that they might have a child, and she thought it might be possible, and she probably even hoped that that child might be the Messiah. But now, before her wedding night, an angel shows up and goes, yeah, that might be part of your dream, but it's not the way it's going to go. You are going to get pregnant, but it's not going to be Joseph. It's not going to belong to any man. She's wanting to know how that is possible. So now she goes from being a little bit apprehensive or afraid or alarmed. Now she's anxious. Now she's facing the unknown. It's funny how some people in the scriptures can ask how or why, and others get in trouble for it. Poor Zechariah lost the ability to speak because he asked the same question, and Mary asks it, and Gabriel's like, well, let me tell you. We don't get to decide how that goes. We just have to accept whichever way it goes. So he does tell her. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Behold, even your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. The word there for cousin, relative, aunt, could be, you know, great aunt. We don't know. It's just a kinsperson of some fashion here. She's going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month. Because nothing is impossible for God. And with that, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. She received a call and she accepted that call and she said, fine, I'm your girl. But then she travels to Elizabeth. I don't know. I mean, this is somewhat in the eye of the beholder here. But I see Mary's response at this point as being a little underwhelming. It's solid. Don't get me wrong. I'm your girl. I'll do it. But this is all happening in the space of moments. You're sitting in your own house or in your own backyard or walking along the roadside or wherever you are, and an angel shows up and he's like, guess what? You're going to have a baby. His name's going to be Jesus. He's going to sit on David's throne. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. I can't even get pregnant. I've not. Don't worry about that. God's got it covered. Okay. I'm in. I'll do it. Now, having heard that her cousin and perhaps her trusted confidant is also with child, she's like, I got to go see this. So she does. She packs up. She travels to the hill country of Judah. There she entered Zechariah's home in verse 40, and she greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Now, tell me, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Something amazing has happened to me. I'm old. I'm way past childbearing years. And yet the Lord has caused me, through my husband, to conceive. And yet she sees Mary as being something quite different. I've been called on to do something special. You've been called on for something far greater. Goes on in verse 44, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that which the Lord has said to her will actually happen. So looking back a few verses, I don't want to take anything away from Mary's like, okay, let's go, let's do this thing. It's solid. It's belief. She is trusting that the angel's message is accurate. But she hasn't broken out yet. She takes this journey, I don't know, a few weeks maybe, certainly a few days. She winds up at Zechariah's house. She goes in. She talks to Elizabeth, and boom, Elizabeth is just like off the charts, praising God for what is about to happen to Mary. So her trip with Joseph to Jerusalem isn't her first trip. Her trip to see Elizabeth is her first trip. And she's already pregnant. And so is Elizabeth. Elizabeth just 6 months further along. But as we have seen, even prior to her trip with Elizabeth, she had to make a journey in her own heart over one very brief conversation from, wow, that's alarming, how can this be, to, okay, let's go. I like to talk about time on the calendar, but sometimes that time is just mere moments. And you have to decide in the blink of an eye whether or not you're going to buy into what God is saying. And Mary was able to make that quick journey quite well. So Mary goes to see Elizabeth. Then this thing happens that we just read. Here's something interesting. I don't know how you would expect this to go, but I was thinking probably in most families and probably in my own family, your young unwed relative comes and you figure out she's pregnant. I don't know that many people would have the reaction Elizabeth has. Of course, it is a different circumstance, I'll grant you that. But there's no name calling. There's no guilting or shaming. There's no condemnation. There's just glorifying God. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Boom. When Elizabeth says that, it suddenly dawns on Mary what is going on, and now we're to our scripture reading. She had a 5-minute conversation with an angel. Okay, you can cut that one way or the other if you want to, but it's a short conversation is the point. She says yes. She goes to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is like, girl, you don't understand. This is special, and you can tell it suddenly dawns on Mary. And so the praise comes pouring out of her. Let's go look at our scripture reading again, verses 46 through 49. And Mary declared, my soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He has been mindful of me, his humble servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. I'm not for venerating Mary, but he's got a pretty special place. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She's already moved from anxiety to acceptance, but now she's into full-blown adoration. It took some days to get there. She had to process this out. She needed the help of Elizabeth, but once her eyes were open, she's like, wait a minute. Look at what God has done for me. But it's not so much about her as she makes it about him. This is the moment to glorify God, and that is what she does. She can't deny it's connected to what has been done for her. She's part of the process. She's in the game. She's on the field. But clearly, from her perspective, this is about God. And so, when it's about God, praise is the most fitting response, and she is full of adoration for him. She is filled with wonder about God. Mary knows her place. She's a humble servant in this, but she also knows it's a precious place. But beyond that, this is more about who God is and what he is doing than it is about me. So long before the birth of the child, Mary has this special moment. And she goes right into rehearsing. Look at what God has done. Pick it up again in verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. Here's what she's saying simply. God is always doing something. You might not see it, you might not know it, but God is always doing something. Now, sometimes people will tell you don't look back. Overall, agree with that advice, but there's a very important time to look back, and you should always look back when you need to do so in order to praise God. Because everyone here this morning has that moment in their life when they realize what God has done for them and what he is asking them to do, and the only and the best response at that moment is to praise God. And in this particular case, praise God for what he has done. She's looking back and saying, you know what God has done for me is not all that different from what he's done for lots and lots of folk. He's been active in the past. is only a way for Mary to say, I trust what he's doing right now. And more so, I trust what he's going to do tomorrow. I don't need to get it. I don't need to understand. I'm glad I do. When I do. But because of who God has been, because of what he has done in generations past, I know that today is under control, and I know that tomorrow is as well. Now, Mary's words here are steeped in the Old Testament. They're based largely in the Psalms. You can go through and find most of these phrases that she's using here directly out of the Psalms. I'm not going to take time to do it this morning. My point is, she knew her Bible. There's a great affinity between what she is saying here in Hannah's prayer and 1 Samuel chapter 2. Very similar. It's amazing to me how glorifying God usually sounds about the same no matter who's doing it. Because it's about what he has done and it's about who he is. So she clearly knows sweeping portions of the Old Testament, and she can weave this into her praise that she's giving to God, this adoration that she is yielding up to him. But I'm telling you this morning, it is equally important for us to see what God has done and to equally believe that he is doing similar things through us, for us, and by us. We should accept that God's mighty arm has acted in the past. And more than that, we believe he is here and present today. And that he has things under his control tomorrow. Now, God could have arranged the birth of Jesus any way he wanted. But she's very clear here. This is happening to little old me. I have no idea about Mary's appearance. She might have been the prettiest girl on the block. She clearly wasn't the wealthiest, wasn't the most connected, wasn't the best known. But none of that mattered to God. None of those were the reason in which he chose her. He didn't just choose her because she was available. He chose her because she was willing. And none of the rest of it mattered. God could have chosen a wealthier woman, a better placed or positioned woman, or family, if you like. But Mary's attitude is, he's taken things out of the hands of wealthy people and given it to the poor. He's taken it out of the minds of proud people and given it to the humble. Who she is as a person had some bearing on this choice, but the largest amount of bearing is that God knew she would just simply say yes. And once it dawns on her what that yes means, once she's visited Elizabeth, she can not only sing this song, she can have this baby. And she can know that the same God who rescued Israel before will deliver him now through this child. He has chosen me. He has chosen my family. But the bottom line is this. God is going to be busy. And it won't always look like what you expect. And you're going to have some questions. And it might be a tad alarming. But he's got yesterday, today, and tomorrow in his hand. Beyond just glorifying God for what he has done, she's very clear about glorifying and praising God for who he is. Back up with me to verse 50. I know you thought I forgot verse 50. You thought I skipped it, but I didn't. Back up to verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. God is merciful to those who fear him, to to those who revere him, to those who respect him, to those who honor him. Now, God's merciful to everybody, but especially to those who have a reverential acknowledgement of who he is. Jump down to verse 54. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he has told our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. All right, she's already in the middle of her 6-month pregnancy, and Mary stays for 3 more months. Doesn't take an Einstein to figure out what you're being told there. She stayed until the baby was here, or at least right at it anyway. Psalm 145 and verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. No one can fathom his greatness." Here's what Mary is saying here. God deserves our praise even if he doesn't lift a finger. But he has lifted a finger. Because of who God is, he deserves to be glorified. But he has done something. And in this case, he has brought his son to this world through Mary. And she thought that was worth crowing about. And I agree with her. He does so much more than just lift a finger. He comes to us. He shares in our life. He knows the struggle is real. He could have been sent here as a full-born adult. God chose for him to come as a child and to be born in the same way. Not conceived in the same manner, that I'll grant you, but born in the same way you and I are born. And then he chose to die. And in that death to become sin for me and for you. And then he chose to go back to the Father and send us the Holy Spirit, as was recounted for us at the table. Clearly God has done so much more than lift a finger. Any person, every person, should know and rehearse what God has done and who he is. And you should be able to know that and see that in your own life. Nobody else will take the place Mary takes. That I'll grant. But everyone can give the praise that Mary gives. Sometimes we get greatly troubled, do we not? Mary did. Sometimes we have questions. Sometimes they go unanswered. Some of us have had our plans and our dreams interrupted, and things don't go the way we had wanted them to go. And some of us are called to do the uneasy thing and take on a role that wasn't in our cards. You're probably like Mary. Mary and I have had this conversation in the office about 15 times. You all think I am an outgoing person. I am not. If I had my druthers, I would sit in my house and never see you at all. Sorry, I mean I love you. It's not that I don't care about people. I'm saying if the way I was until I was 18, you could not recognize me at all. I was a loner bookworm who hated people. I grant you, I still hate people, but I love you enough to tell you about who Jesus is and to rub shoulders with you all. Sometimes God is going to ask us to do something that isn't us. He doesn't call us based upon our natural born gifts or our natural position. He calls us because of who he is and what he does. And Mary gets it. And so she could overcome her fear and her anxiety and her questions. And she could praise God. And I want the same for each and every one of us. And I can stand up and give testimony that it is true in some small way for me. And I believe it is also true for you. All of us should hear that God is calling us to do something for his kingdom. And that he is taking us from our lowly estate, from our humble situation, and he is giving us something greater to do. And it's certainly true for Mary, and we should call her blessed for it. But it's equally true for us. And when we see it, when we just finally, it dawns on us, we will break out in praise to God just like Mary has done. And I don't think this is a one-off. I don't think this is the only time she glorifies God in her whole life. This is just one that got recorded. And so today might be the day for you where you realize, I get it. I mean, I don't get it all. I don't understand every little part of the process, but I get it. I get that God is asking me to do something, and he's empowering me to do something, and it will be for his glory. And so I'm going to start first off by giving him the glory for what he has done and for who he is. And every year when this time of year rolls around, we get a great chance to say, shouldn't God be glorified for what he has done and for who he is? And if we're asking others to do it, heavens to Betsy, shouldn't we be doing it? All of us have received a call. All of us should accept the call. And all of us should glorify God, which in its most basic definition is the call. So in case you thought this song came up after the birth of Jesus, now you know otherwise. And in case you thought you were alone and being a little afraid and not knowing what's going on and having your plans ruined, don't fret. Welcome to the club. A lot of us have been there. Reggie, I was going to be a doctor. I was probably going to be a good one. No guarantee. I mean, I might have wanted to be a pathologist. Lord said, I got plenty of doctors. I don't have near enough preachers. I'm like, Lord, there's somebody over there. Go talk to them. I tried the whole Moses thing. I ain't your guy. Now I glorify God because of what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do. I glorify God because of who he is. And I want the same for you, and so does he. Will you accept the call? And will you glorify God? If you have a need, why don't you come as we stand and sing?